Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Mile High Hoops with Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to yet another edition of the Mile High Hoops podcast. As always, I'm your host, Zach Bye, and as always, I am very appreciative of you spending a sliver of your busy day with me here on the pod. Man, guys, I get paid to talk about sports for a living, and I am out of words. I am speechless with what I am watching with this Denver Nuggets team. Now, I know that we've talked about it, you know, in recent weeks, how, you know, the Nuggets, like when you look up adversary in the dictionary, there's a picture of the Nuggets. And every time where the chips are down, they step up in a major way. That is who they are. That is their DNA. But this level, this latest version of handling adversity, and not just handling adversity, but thriving amidst the unfortunate chaos of their NBA season, what we're seeing right now, I feel like I'm in a very weird way. And I think I said this last year when they came back from a 3-1 deficit, first team ever to do it twice in a single postseason, where I said it sounds really weird because I'm talking about a group of professional athletes, a group of millionaires that get to play a kid's game, and these guys literally have no idea who I am. So it sounds really weird to say, but like, I'm flat out proud of this group. I'm proud of them. They are a testament of willpower. And for them now to be 9-1 without Jamal Murray, since Jamal Murray went down. And he was down before that, if you remember. I think he played, or they were without him maybe 4 games, came back, got hurt. So that's where we've kind of hit the reset button on this 9-1 stat, but it's even better than that. But like, guys, this is what we're seeing right now. You know, we're coming off the most recent win over the Los Angeles Clippers, okay? 110-104, a game in which the Nuggets were supposed to lose. They're on the road. Kawhi is back. And it's such a collective and brilliant effort from every single person that had 2 sneakers on the floor, every single one of them. And that's the only way that you're able to do something like this. That's the only way that you're able to thrive in the situation that they are currently in. Nikola Jokic, I feel like bowing down to this dude. 30 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists. He is your 2021 NBA MVP. It is unequivocal at this point. It is not debatable at this point. The fact that people still are in some idiotic circles, and I don't mean to say idiotic. I apologize. In some uninformed, I don't think you should call names when talking about sports. That's just me. In some misinformed circles, the fact that other candidates are continuously getting floated is, like I said, it's just ignorance in the true sense of the word. Just not knowing what Nikola has done this season. He put the nail in the coffin in front of the world on ESPN this weekend. It's over. And, you know, I almost tweeted this, and I should tweet this as soon as I'm done here, is that I think it's going to be a landslide, guys. I think it's going to be a landslide. And I think I might have mentioned this last week in that, like, ESPN, yeah, and I believe I did. Sometimes I forget what I say on the podcast and what I say on my radio show. But, like, ESPN has a job to do. These commentators, these debate shows, they have a job to do. You know, especially ESPN, they have such major deals with the NBA that the NBA gets talked about a ton. And so they have segments to fill, right? So I get it from that standpoint. But every single one of those segments and every single one of those conversations should ultimately end with, but Nikola's going to win the MVP. Because when the votes are cast at the end of the day, there's going to be integrity behind those votes from the voters. It's not going to be about filling a segment. It's not going to be about clicking on a link. It's not going to be about a former player staying neutral in the conversation to not upset someone or make a headline. The votes will get cast with integrity, and Nikola Jokic is going to be your landslide. Guys, book it. Landslide MVP. And I went back and I was Googling some landslide MVPs that weren't unanimous because I do, like, you could actually make an argument that Nikola Jokic should be unanimous MVP. Seriously. And I believe there's only one in the history of the sport. That was Steph Curry a couple years ago. But I was trying to find others that were just absolute landslide victories. In 2014, when Kevin Durant won it, I think he got, like, and I was reading this last night, I think he got like 95 first place votes. The next was like 6 for LeBron. It's going to look something like that. I promise you. Book it. Mark it down. Like, it's going to be a landslide. And I think that when a lot of the casual fans see what the tally is, I think the awareness and respect for the Joker is going to go up threefold. And it will then match the level that I have for him sitting here today talking with you. Watching him just kill Zubac this weekend on ESPN, Jokic, and we've talked about this in recent weeks, he is a master at using leverage. And he is still so physically imposing. Like, don't let the weight loss fool you. Like, he still plays with a lot of power. And you can't let him just back you down and bully you. So you have to try to match that physicality. And then he only just uses that against you. And uses those leverage points. And you saw him do it 3-4 times against Zubac where he's just really getting into him. He just spins off him. He just uses that momentum that is going into his back and ultimately uses it against the defender. And he got layup after layup doing that. You saw he had a pair of them in the first half, but you saw that on that pretty spin into the a fancy bucket there. I believe it was in the third where he doesn't dunk it, but he gets out in front of the rim and just, I mean, it was just elegant, an elegant finish that he did by design, by the way. He didn't need to do that. That's his version of style points, I believe, where he's finishing from underneath the basket but is stretching his hand out and puts it right over the front of the rim from, like, just a no-business angle. But you also saw him get two different dunks off catching and ripping. I mean, and one was literally just a catch and rip where he caught it, like, high right elbow. There was a little action there with Austin Rivers, and Aaron Gordon had the basketball, and Jokic is setting a screen for Rivers, who pops out to the top of the three and pulls his defender with him. And it's just Zubac and Jokic. He gets the ball high post and just flat out just rips through. There was 0.1 seconds between the time he caught the basketball and is ripping through on his way to the hoop. And it finishes with a dunk. That was not happening that same way just 2 years ago. But he can now physically pull that off with ease. You know, he had another one where it's a catch, quick show of the basketball. And because he has become such a legitimate three-point threat, you have to show some level of respect there. And soon as the defender, Zubac, leans toward the showing of the ball, he's ripping through. And that's when that was that play. No one on the Clippers stepped up. And he just came down the lane. And threw it down with that right hand. Just a beautiful, beautiful play, beautiful finish. And, you know, Jokic is that dude, man. He's the king of this sport right now. He gets to the free throw line 10 times, goes 10 for 10, makes multiple threes, you know, pulling down 14 rebounds. Didn't turn the ball over not one time. Not one time. You're seeing more brilliance from Michael Porter Jr. We talked last week here on the Mile High Hoops podcast about the layered scoring that you're seeing from Michael Porter Jr. You know, the three-level scorer that he is, he's blossoming in that role. The confidence is just supreme right now. It feels like he has like stepped into a pair of shoes that maybe a year ago were two sizes, three sizes too big, and now he's filling them out. And maybe even on some nights his toes are sticking out of those shoes. Just brilliant. Again, speaking to the three-level scoring threat that he is, you're seeing this guy finish on the breakaway. You're seeing him finish around the rim. And on the breakaway, you know, multiple occasions of that against the Clippers, sometimes that he's finishing with grace. You saw him out ahead of the field, you know, throwing it down. You're seeing him with a pump fake. And this is a three-pointer in the first half. He gets the defender up in the air on a shot fake, but he doesn't just shoot it right away. The defender, and pardon me, I actually forget who it was. I think it was Reggie Jackson, actually. Porter took so much time to shoot the three that Jackson made two swipes at it within one shot. So it's shot fake, and then he doesn't just shoot it right away. Reggie has enough time to recover and give another swipe at it. But I'm bringing that up because he's never covered. Even when the defender has an opportunity to recover off the getting off their own feet on the shot fake, he's still getting the shot off. I mean, it's insane. You're seeing him have the mid-range game going. he got a defender off of his feet on a shot fake three. This is in the first half. It's one dribble into the paint, and then it's one more step of engaging Marcus Morris, who was about maybe 2, 3, 4 feet in front of him. It's one step right toward him, just to freeze him for a half second, followed by the step back. So that step towards Marcus is the step back, okay? So it's shot fake, one dribble in, one step toward Morris, into the step back jumper. And you're only doing that if you're really, really comfortable. And I think a year ago, that was either one of two things. It was a three-point attempt on the initial what turned out to be a shot fake, or it's driving, trying to go all the way to the rim. But when you're playing with pace and the game has slowed down for you, you can get the defender on the shot fake, one dribble in, step back. And now, by the time that he shot the step back, there was no one within 6 feet of him. I mean, that's as open as you're ever going to be in the National Basketball Association. And that's the kind of shots that he's creating for himself. All right? Creating for himself. That was not really the case when there was a healthy Jamal Murray, Monty Morris, Will Barton. He's playing off the ball more in those situations. But you're seeing this guy flourish with his newfound opportunity, averaging about 26 points since Jamal Murray went down, 25.6 points per game. Brilliant. Brilliant. The double clutch three-pointer in the third quarter? Are you kidding me? I thought he was getting fouled. I mean, just effing brilliant. That's big time. That's James Harden stuff. Like, it's brilliant. And then you also saw him mix in a floater in the second half, a right-handed floater from the free throw line. So, like, if you went back, and this conversation is under the umbrella of the three-level scoring threat. You're seeing him pump fake threes and shoot them. You're seeing him double clutch threes. You're seeing mid-range step-back jumpers. You're seeing him finish on the breakaway, dunks, layups. You're seeing him get putbacks. Like, Michael Porter Jr. is a freaking Swiss Army knife right now, and has been. But you're finding new, like different prongs of that knife that you didn't know existed right in your own pocket. He's pulling out right in front of us, and it's just gorgeous to see. Like, the Nuggets are 43-21 now. They're 22 games over 500. That's insane. They have a 19-11 record on the road. Crazy. Crazy. I want to give a shout-out to Paul Millsap, too, while we're here. Paul has been looking terrific, man. He's playing with supreme confidence. He's been efficient. 5 for 10 from the floor against the Clippers. You see him, catch. This is in the second quarter. Terrific second quarter, by the way. Big part of the reason they won that game. But you're seeing him just catch, square up, rhythm, shot. Like, survey real quick. Okay, I got this shot. Bang. Followed up by get you off your feet or get you leaning a little bit with a pump, two dribbles, finish from the right side, just one or two possessions later. After that, a baseline jumper, he's just got it going. You know, he's just got it going. And when he was out there, they had the Clippers had like a near 5 minute stretch where they literally did not score, where they did not make a 2-point field goal. Almost 5 minutes. That's really hard to do in today's game, especially against a team like the Clippers. But the defense of this basketball team right now is such a huge part of the story. I mean, the defense, you're seeing like, man, second, third, fourth, incredible like IQ mixed with max effort defensive possessions and rotations. So like three and four rotations into a possession, the Nuggets are pulling it off. And the second group has to get massive credit for that. We talked about it last week, the combination of Jim Michael Green and Paul Millsap out there together defensively. Brilliant. I mean, brilliant. And go look, you need to beat a team like the Clippers, and this is doubly true in the playoffs for sure. Like, your high-end talent needs to be great, right? Your high-end talent needs to be great. So your Nikola Jokic, your Michael Porter Jr., they have to be terrific, right? But your second group has to be pretty damn good. And look at the plus-minus. Now, you don't reduce everything down to plus-minus. A lot of stuff is circumstantial. But this is worth mentioning. Every single starter was in the negative. Aaron Gordon, MPJ, Jokic, Campaso, and Dozier. Every single starter was a minus. Every single player on the bench was a plus. Austin Rivers in 26 minutes was a plus 22. Shaq Harrison, you look at the stat line, and this is why you got to watch the games. You can't just look at the stat sheet. Shaq Harrison played 15 minutes, didn't score a point. And he did have an assist. Didn't score a point, but I thought his impact was legitimate. Like he's constantly just so scrappy and pesky and getting his hands on basketballs, and you know he's fun. He was a plus 12. So just a flat out terrific effort from the second unit. I got to give a big shout out to Campaso. That 3-pointer. Now he played a ton again. Major minutes for Campaso, and he's making the most of it. Now, again, he goes for 10 points, which is a great night for Campaso, I think. Got to the free throw line a couple times, went 4-for-4, 2-for-4 from the field, which were threes only. But none bigger than that shot. What was it, about a minute left maybe, when the score is 104-98, and they come down and Jokic gets the basketball, and he's got just incredible spidey sense, and can feel Rajon Rondo, who I thought played great, by the way, 18 points for Rondo and 5 assists. But Jokic feels Rondo coming from behind. And anytime I see a guy sneak from behind like that, I get flashbacks of Michael Jordan in the 1998 finals against the Jazz when the when Malone had the basketball and doesn't see Jordan come behind his ear and smack the basketball out of his hands and ultimately leads to what, you know, is like the shot, game winner. But Rondo tries to pull one of those, like come right behind the ear of him. And you know, we've seen Rondo do this throughout his career, but Jokic feels him. And in that moment, Campaso's in the left corner, but it was a dive from Aaron Gordon that put the final polish on that possession. Aaron Gordon dives right down the middle of the floor, and Kawhi's got a decision to make. You got to step up and address Aaron Gordon, because he's going to finish with a dunk if you make a play for Campaso, who didn't have the ball yet, so you wouldn't do that in general, right? So Gordon dives, but it just made it perfect. Gordon dives down the middle of the floor. Jokic sees in real time, he's got a friggin' Pentium 3 processor for a brain, and fires it out to Campaso, and Campaso makes that three. By the way, making up for, atoning for a couple brutal turnovers that happened just before that, making it an even closer game than it should have been. But it's 104-98, and that shot made it 107-98, and that was the game. It just took the air out of the Clipper sails. But it was just an awesome, awesome microcosm of a possession for the real-time processing of Jokic to the presence of mind for Gordon to dive, and then Campaso actually, you know, has to go and make the shot, in which he did. It's just awesome, man. Are you kidding me? This Denver Nuggets team that we weren't sure if they were going to be in the play-in game. We weren't sure, you know, this is a team that was 8-7 after 15 games. This is a team that was 12-11, right? And now they're sitting in the third seed of the Western Conference. Incredible. And they're just winning in a different way now. They are showing real metal right now. And it has me reevaluating like who they can be in the NBA playoffs. Now, again, into the moving standard of success, like what would quantify success this year? You know, that got totally. This thing went from, are they still good considering the way that they started and the players that they lost, and things weren't great with Michael Porter Jr. and there was definitely some growing pains, and like is this guy Campazzo even belong in the league, and mixing in seven new players and the whole Jeremy Grant thing, and no Torrey Craig, and no Mason Plumlee, and you know, and then they start playing great basketball. They figure this out, and then Jamal goes down, Monty Morris goes down, Will Barton goes down. And then it's like these guys are going to be a first round exit, and now I'm back to where I was, you know, a month ago, thinking that I don't know, could this team go to the NBA Finals? Like all these other teams in the West have real imperfections. You know, I don't know who the Lakers are going to be, you know, and like who would have thought the Lakers would be potentially in the play-in game? Crazy. Absolutely crazy. All right, that'll do it for now. I got a 3-hour radio show to do, so I don't want to lose my voice here. I am going to come back and record another episode tomorrow reacting to the game on ESPN against those same Los Angeles Lakers tonight. Man, this is crazy. Are we having fun yet? Are we having fun yet? All right. Whatever happens, you know. Thank you for being here with me today. And you know that whatever happens against the Lakers tonight, Monday night on ESPN, we'll be talking about it right here on the Mile High Hoops podcast.
Oh, hey, didn't realize you were listening. Well, let's make this quick. And don't touch that dial. We're Rocky Mountain Forest Products, and we're not aggressive. We're passionate. And we're not going to blast you with facts you don't need. But when you do, visit rmfp.com. Whether you're in need of fencing, decking, or siding information, it's all there. And best of all, it's free. No one likes a salesman, so we're not going to sell you. Whether you need the info or not, just remember rmfp.com. You do you, Colorado. You do you.